Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live every day to address your questions and real-life issues by phone at 1-800-677-9377. If something you'd like to talk about, call now. The lines are wide open at 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part to learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to continue on our subject for the month, and that's spiritual warfare. Yesterday, we started a look at the armor of God that each of us have been equipped with through faith in Jesus Christ. So if you're a believer in Christ, you have this armor. You're clothed in this armor. It's just in our minds. We need to realize that. And so today we're going to look at the second piece of this armor. Yesterday was the belt of truth. And I think that's significant that Paul started right there in this description because truth is the main defense against the lies of Satan. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, the second thing he talks about is this breastplate of righteousness. And that is an incredible piece of armor to protect us against the accusations of Satan. We have been declared to be righteous in the sight of God. That's proof that our sins have been forgiven once and for all, the fact that we have been declared righteous. Now, that righteousness becomes a breastplate that guards our hearts. And boy, our hearts need to be guarded, don't they, as we go through this world, because we're constantly being attacked. And we need that protection. And those attacks come in the form of accusations.
Right.
Satan is constantly accusing us. And then we kind of entertain those thoughts he puts in our heads, and then we embellish. And we start accusing ourselves, and we start going, oh, woe is me, type of stuff. And our heart gets into it, and our hearts get hurt. Well, those hearts need to be protected, and they're protected by the breastplate of righteousness. If you're a believer in Christ, you have been declared to be righteous. Stand in that. Embrace that truth in your mind. Let it expand in your thinking. And in doing so, that will give you confidence to take your stand in this world.
Absolutely. Well, you found Basic Gospel on your radio dial. We're glad that you have, and thanks for joining us. 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of open lines right now, and that's why we're here live to address your questions and your particular needs. If you have something you'd like to talk about, a particular life issue, perhaps a Bible question you can't quite understand, this is a great opportunity, friends, because all the time left on the clock and plenty of open lines. 1-800-677-9377. Give us a call.
Well, it would be interesting to hear from our listeners today to talk about some of the accusations that they have experienced. You know, accusations, self-accusations, things that others have brought to the table, pointing fingers of judgment, maybe accusations of Satan himself. Let's talk about that on today's broadcast, because whatever you've experienced, I guarantee you almost every single other person out there has experienced the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of Satan's game plan, to accuse us at every single turn. I mean, he just slaughters us with these accusations.
He's had a lot of time to perfect that art.
He has. And he's hoping we'll just bite on one. I've described Satan as a fisherman. Now, all you fishermen out there, don't get mad at me.
Send
emails are on the way, yes.
But here's the story. You know, you're sitting in the boat, and you know there's fish there, and you're just not sure what bait they're going to bite on. So you just throw out every type of bait you can imagine, hoping that one of those would be luring enough that the fish would take a bite.
Yeah.
That's the way Satan is. He doesn't know us personally, intimately. He doesn't know our trigger points. He knows humanity in general, and he knows that we can be deceived. He knows that we can succumb to temptation. So he just throws all kinds of stuff out there. And hope in the hopes that we're going to bite on something.
Yeah.
But we don't have to entertain those accusations. Why? Because we've been declared righteous in the sight of God through faith in Jesus Christ.
Without question. And again, open lines 1-800-677-9377.
Let's talk to Duran, listening to us in Temple, Texas on KBBW. Hi, Duran.
Hey, guys. I had a question about, I was reading this and watching this on YouTube like a couple of days now, and this is actually my first time hearing about this story. I heard that Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead, but I never really understand the full story. And I was reading that, the rich man that went to hell, and actually he looked up and saw Abraham, and it's like he was saying, like, he was talking to him, saying, can this servant dip his finger in some water and cool my tongue? And I was thinking, like, if you're supposed to be in hell, you're supposed to be in torment. I don't think if you consume with fire, like, how in the world can you be speaking, you know, like that? I would think he'd be, like, in just so much agony. He's screaming and yelling and can't sit still. I just didn't understand that. You know what I mean?
Well, Duran, it's an interesting question. This story in Luke 16, starting in verse 19, the rich man and Lazarus, it's a story that he's telling, and it's a story to try to get people to understand the miracle of resurrection. That's what Abraham replied. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. He said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. That story of resurrection, of Christ's resurrection, was embedded in the Old Testament. That whole thing, as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus died according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and he was raised back to life according to the Scriptures. And so right. Moses and the prophets wrote about that. And so if the people weren't going to listen to what Moses and the prophets had to say, why would they listen to Jesus? And why would they believe on him even after he had been raised from the dead? So that's the whole point of this story, to jar the people, to get them to see that the story that Jesus has been telling them, not only through his teaching but through his miracles, is the story that the prophets of old have been telling as well, or told as well. And right. So he's just giving endorsement to what's already been written, so to speak.
So, okay, well, yeah, I figured, I knew that. It was just, now I kind of got an understanding, you know, what Hades is like, so I'm guessing they can look up and see, you know, the righteous people in paradise.
Well, it seems to indicate that in this story, but, you know, it doesn't give a lot of detail. And,
right.
And I don't think we're meant to have the detail. I know this is one place. There's only this particular story that gives us any insight into what Hades is like and how that it was divided between the lower region and the upper region. And the lower region, the place where those who have rejected Christ, rejected the promises of God, rejected the teaching of God through the prophets, are held until that final day of judgment. And then the upper regions, that place that some would call paradise, which would have been the holding place for the saints of old, until the time that Jesus died and was raised back to life, and then he would have gone and gotten them and ushered them into his very presence.
Right, led captive. That's
yes.
Right. And now they're in the presence of God. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank y'all.
You're welcome, Duran. Nice to hear from you.
Yes, indeed.
All right.
Open lines 1-800-677-9377. Want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Give us a call, 1-800-677-9377.
And again, we're talking about the breastplate of righteousness today, the fact that it protects our hearts from the accusations of our enemy. What kind of accusations have you experienced in your life as a believer? What kind of doubts have you had as far as your salvation is concerned, as far as forgiveness is concerned? Have you ever looked in the mirror and said, how could I be a Christian? How could God love me? If so, we want to talk about it. There's great answers in the Word of God. There's great hope there. There's great encouragement. And there's this anchor for our souls that is found in this gospel message. So yes, let's talk about it, 1-800-677-9377. Well, let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk to Martin. Hi, Martin.
Good day. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm a blind guy calling from New York.
Martin, could we get you to speak up a little bit louder? Having trouble hearing you.
Oh, yes, can you hear me now?
That's better. Thank you.
Amen. Well, I have a friend by the name of Gil Corona. He's blind the same as me. So I just wanted to send a shout-out to him.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, and besides that, my question is, how can we get people to continue to go to church? Because it seems like most people today who are Christians go to church, but there's some that don't go. And I have the verse here from the Bible. Hebrews chapter 10:25 is a good verse. It tells us, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Well, Martin, that's an excellent question. And I think there's a God-given desire in the hearts of all of us who know Jesus Christ to want to fellowship with other like-minded believers. Yeah. We were saved individually, but in that transaction, when we respond to the good news, God adds us to the body of Christ. That's what it means to be baptized into Christ or placed into Christ. So we belong to Christ, and we belong to all those others who belong to Christ as well. And so there's this natural or spiritual desire to connect with other like-minded believers. I think the reason that so many people don't try to do that today is because they get bombarded by a series of rules and regulations. It becomes performance-based Christianity. And the joy of the Lord is just zapped out of people by some of the misguided teaching that is coming from pulpits today. We gather around Jesus Christ. We are joined together because of the grace of God that we've all experienced in Christ. We are connected because of the Spirit of God who lives in us. Stand together in this new covenant as new covenant believers. Those are all the things that unite us in Christ, and yet very seldom do you hear those things being taught and held up as the most important aspects of the gospel in teaching today. And so folks, you know, are scared to get involved because they don't want to be hammered by more rules and regulations and more, you know, you need to do this and you need to do that messages. So as believers, we need to hold up the pure grace of God, the simple, powerful, life-changing message of grace, and allow people to gather around that message. And when people gather around that message and what Christ has accomplished in their lives, it is such a draw that people want to go to church. People want to be involved with other believers. You don't have to say, hey, you need to get in church. You need to be doing this, this, and this. It's just the love of God that is expressed in those relationships that tells you when you leave, hey, I can't wait to get back next week, or I can't wait to meet with these people on Tuesday, or that sort of thing. So we have to hold up this gospel message and the love of Christ Jesus that's expressed in that gospel message. And when we do, we don't have to worry about whether people are going to go to church or not going to go to church. They're going to want to be involved.
Thanks, brother.
Well, you're welcome, Martin. Hey, thanks for your call, and God bless you for calling.
Amen.
Yeah, and glad you have your friend Gil. He's such a wonderful brother in the Lord, and nice to know that y'all have connected.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, let me put you on hold. Let me get more information from you, Martin, and we'll send you some information about our ministry, okay?
Thanks.
God bless you, my friend.
Yes, indeed. Good to hear from Martin.
Yes. Well, let's go to Oscar in Mount Vernon, New York. Hi, Oscar.
Yes, sir. I see God in the Bible has many names. Is the word, my question is the word Trinity another name for God, since he's triune by divine nature?
Well, Trinity is not actually in the Bible. We look at the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit as the Godhead, and the fact that it's a triune Godhead, scholars have come up with the term Trinity, but that's not a name for God. That's just a description of the Godhead.
Oh, okay. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, bye-bye.
You're welcome, Oscar. Thanks for your call. Let's go to John in Brooklyn. Hi, John.
Hey, guys, how you doing out there, right?
Doing well.
Hey, John.
Wait, when are you guys going to be coming to New York area? Soon this year?
Well, I hope so. I hope we'll get up there soon. We would love to. We have a lot of good friends up there, and I think that would just be a great time.
I'm telling you, I really appreciate you guys talking about Jesus and how simple you make it to know the Lord. And I tell you, I know a lot of people out there. More now today we need Jesus. More now we need his love and the body of Christ touching people with the love of Christ. And I really appreciate it. I know everybody appreciates what you guys are doing. And you're making it so simple, you know, nothing hard, very simple, receiving Jesus and walking with him. It's an everyday battle, but, you know, we can make it. And, you know, and I pray that everybody knows Jesus, no matter where they are. Because God can save anyone and touch everyone. He's turned my life around. He has made me a true blue person for Jesus, just going out there and touching them with the love. So I just want to say thank you guys for being there and helping everybody with the questions and answering questions. And I hear you guys every day and really appreciate it so much. So I want to say thanks.
Well, thank you, John.
Yeah, thank you.
That's a great encouraging word today. And boy, we need to be encouraged. And
amen.
I appreciate you listening to the Lord and picking up that phone and calling in. That means a lot to us.
Well, thank you so much. Keep up the good work, and I know God's going to help you with everything.
Well, and when
we get
to New York, we'll look forward to meeting you face-to-face.
Yes, indeed.
Amen. I'll be the first one on the line.
Well, that's great.
Thanks for your call, John.
Yes, most definitely. Love calls like that, don't
we? You bet. Sure do.
Absolutely.
Let's go to Manville, New Jersey, and talk with Michael listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Michael.
How are you guys?
Doing fantastic. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. Very blessed to actually talk to you guys. It's good that, you know, you can reach out and you have a station like this that you can, when you have a question, you can go to you and someone's usually tied up. You guys are usually open, which is great. So I faithfully listen to you guys every day, so I appreciate you guys also.
Well, thank you, Michael. Thanks for tuning in.
My pleasure. The question I have is, I'm 33 years old. I got saved when I was 15, brought up in a household of Catholic people. So I converted over, and I've, you know, it's been up and down, you know, whatnot. I've been prayed over many times by pastors stating that I was called to be a pastor, and I ignored it. I'm recently starting to strive to do that. Now, the thing is this, that lately I've been hearing a lot of other pastors and other Christians, if you will, and the doctrine that I was taught is that the salvation thing, you can't lose it. God can't pluck you out of, you know, no one can pluck you out of God's hand. And I faithfully read the word to the point where I'm studying it and not coming up with my own theologies, and I'm saying what it says is what it is. A lot of people like to twist it. So, like I said, recently a lot of even pastors tell me, no, you can lose your salvation, says it in James. I come up with, and I'm driving, I can't really see it right now, but if you look in the book of Revelation, maybe you can explain it a little more in depth. I have my own understanding of it. Maybe you can explain it. In Revelation chapter 22, the last chapter, okay, a couple verses later, it does state that if you add anything to this word or take anything away from this word, God will put the plagues of this book on you, and he will take you out of the book of life. Now, if you can explain that in depth, that'd be more exhilarating. I'm feeling more of a pastoral kind of thing, teaching off his own theology, teaching besides the word. That's the only way I feel you can lose your salvation, if you will. So if you'd like to capitalize, I appreciate it.
Okay, Michael, good question. And the passage in question there is Revelation 22, starting in verse 19. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. There's an offer of salvation on the table for all. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so what he's simply saying there, if you're going to twist and pervert the Word of God, and especially what was written in the book of Revelation, if you're going to try to add to it, if you're going to try to take away from it, then that offer that God has out there is going to be taken off the table. And that's basically what he's saying. The person who takes away from the book of this prophecy is a person that was never in the book of life. It is a person that was lost, was always lost, and will remain lost eternally. So he's not saying you can that this person was saved, and because they chose to add to the words of this particular prophecy, now they're going to be cast into the lake of fire, that salvation is going to be taken away from them. That's not what this is saying. This is a stern warning to those who are lost, who try to add to the words of this prophecy. At that point, God draws the line and says, no more. There's no more offer there for you.
Right, because, I mean, in, I guess in the text, maybe I misread it, but it says he'll take you out of the book of life. I mean, I don't know if that's
No, it doesn't. Any... It doesn't say that. It simply says that God will take away from him his share in the tree of life. So Jesus is that tree of life. He is God's offer to man, and anyone can receive him. But
I receive. All right.
Okay.
No, I must have misread that. I apologize, but that's good, because I don't want to mislead anybody. And I believe once you're saved, you're saved. Because if you come with a genuine heart, God is going to work out your character and your heart. And yes, there's going to be, you know, tribulation and trials. But you know, in essence, there's a lot of people saying, well, the only sin that's not forgiven is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. So how does that come about? Because I'm sure everyone has, you know, said there is no God or the Holy Spirit doesn't exist. Is that considered blasphemy?
Well, rejection of Christ is the ultimate blasphemy, because the Holy Spirit's job is to take the things of the Lord Jesus and make them known to us. If somebody is going to reject the Spirit's work to reveal the gospel of Christ, that ultimately is the rejection of Christ, and that becomes the unpardonable sin, the blasphemy that is eternal separation from God.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you can still get forgiven, but it's like once you're...
You just remain dead spiritually. I mean, that's the condition of all people before coming to know Christ. They're dead spiritually. And if they reject, then that's how they're going to remain eternally. Let me do this, Michael. I did a message called The Trail of Assurance, and it's a message that follows the trail of assurance through the book of Revelation. I think the book of Revelation speaks more to assurance of salvation than any other book in the New Testament. It's powerful stuff. I would love to send it to you, just our compliments, and just to say thanks for being on the program today. You hang on, Michael. We'll get that to you.
And Michael, please give the operator your email address, because we have something else we'd like to send you as well. Well, guys, we are just about out of time. A very interesting program, and thanks to everybody that called for being a part of it. You know, we are a listener-supported ministry, and we are dependent upon those of you who derive benefit from this broadcast to keep Basic Gospel on the air by your prayers and by your financial support. And as a way of saying thank you for your gift of any amount today, we have a copy of Andrew Farley's book, Operation Screwtape, for you. That's for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To make your gift and request your copy, call 1-800-727-2828 to speak with our operator. Again, that toll-free number, 1-800-727-2828, during Central Time office hours. Or visit us online at basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent link on the homepage at basicgospel.net. Also, to stay up to date with late news about the ministry's upcoming events and conferences and so forth, and information about new resources to aid your understanding of the life of Christ, why, join our email list. You can do that by clicking subscribe in the upper menu at basicgospel.net. All the resources we talk about on Basic Gospel are available through our website at store.basicgospel.net. Again, store.basicgospel.net. Take advantage of that and the entire website. And if you like what you hear each day, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the Basic Gospel team. I'm Bob Davis saying thanks for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.